It's time for The Drive on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Glacier Garage, a local show for gearheads, car lovers, and those who just want to learn more about anything with four wheels. And now, The Drive on KFAR Radio.
Welcome to The Drive on KFAR Radio. I am Brandon.
And I'm Harley.
What is up, dude?
Man, you know, another glorious day, nice and sunny. Been enjoying the lowrider the last week, 2 weeks. It's been great.
Yeah, things pretty crazy.
Yeah, it gets a lot of looks. Like, you air it out and it just sits on its frame on the ground.
And everybody's looking at it like, why would you want to do that to a pickup truck?
Absolutely. I get a lot of those comments. It's okay. Don't have to understand.
Yep.
I love it.
It's definitely cool. It rides way better than I thought it would.
Yes, me too. I'd never even ridden in one before I bought that thing. And it handles way better, like, than all of my static drops. So, like, super impressed.
Happy. And it's, what year is it?
2008.
So, 08, single cab, Silverado.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
like, bagged and body dropped. So, the body is dropped 6 inches on the frame, too. That's why it sits so low when it's aired out. That's why, like, if you see a truck sitting in traffic, you can usually see the frame rails, like, under the body.
Mm.
You cannot on this truck.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the bed, or I guess the frame, is all notched, right, mm-hmm. to allow it to get down that low.
Yeah, which is crazy, because even that's why the bed floor had to be raised so high, because it's notched so tall in the back that even, like, aired out substantially, I drive it super low, and it never bottoms out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I guess that would make sense why it rides so well. It was done right.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty impressed. First back truck, super happy. Something I've always wanted is mm-hmm. like a bucket list item. So it makes me super happy. And it's super funny because, like, it serves zero purpose other than the fact that I enjoy driving it and looking at it as I walk away or walk up to it. It's just mm-hmm. super cool.
Nice. Well, today we want to talk about, I guess, some of the differences when you're servicing Europeans?
Yeah, I would say.
European makes?
Yeah, Euros. And not necessarily imports. More so, like, yeah, your Euros, like your BMWs, your Mercedes, like those higher-end Euros. Substantial differences in repair times, gain of access to things, parts availability. Just the differences, because they're stark contrast. It's very, very different than your typical American-made.
Yeah, the Euros are a different beast. It's funny because there's a lot of shops that will, they do like all makes and models except Euros.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where we draw the line. Like, you call around and you try to get your Porsche or BMW or Mercedes serviced, and that's where people are like, mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy. And we learned the hard way. The reason why, like, even Fairbanks Imports won't touch Range Rovers, they just won't work on them. And it's like, what? That's your bread and butter, man. Like, imports, like, it's Fairbanks Imports. Won't mess with them. There's just so many variants in parts for the same make and model by year. And then everything's, like, model-specific fluids for transfer case, transmission, stuff like that. So, and nobody carries any of it in mm-hmm. Alaska even really anymore. So just getting, like, fluid to redo, like, a transfer case service, you got to order from Lower 48.
Yeah, man, my experience working on those, like, to me, they're very similar to Ford Motor Company. But, yeah, I guess that was a crazy part that we dealt with was the fluids. And even though you call somebody and you speak to a dealer and you give them the VIN, somehow there's still, like, 15 options.
Yeah, because there's submodels and what package and what suspension and what, yeah. There's just so many different variants in what could be. It's, yeah, such a pain. You quote, like, brakes on the M3, thinking that you got the right stuff. They show up, and it's drastically different. And you're like, oh, wait. This has the 6 pistons up front, and it's got this. Now it's a $1,000 brake job instead of $500.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully that descriptor is in the when you're ordering the parts, because I've seen where it's not.
Mm-hmm.
They might give you a rotor diameter measurement. So yep. You're like, cool, let's get this. And then, yeah, if something doesn't look right, come to find out, there's, yeah, like a six piston or four or eight or whatever difference. But, man, just working on those things, though, I don't know. Like, it's the idea of a luxury European car. I mean, they're talking about the creature comforts inside and, like, the performance, et cetera. But they're also expecting you to maintain it more, I think, in order to, like, have that. Because I feel like they use a lot of inferior parts. Like, you pop the hood and there's a lot of plastic.
Yes.
And there's, it's small, brittle plastic that when heat cycled, especially up here, hundreds of thousands of times, when it's time to do service, they all need replaced.
Yeah, so basically, and I ran into that just being on the sales side of that, where I can't remember what vehicle it was. I want to say it was like a AMG Mercedes when we first opened. We did like water pump on it, and we quoted it like it was a Chevy or something. So we quoted water pump, and I think we threw a thermostat in there, and
gaskets, coolant.
Yeah, you know, it's like the associated things with those two items. You get into it, though. You get these factory molded hoses with these quick release, quick plug-in, like, hose fittings. And, yeah, like you said, they're this, like, plastic molded material with a plastic clip and all these things. And you go to take them apart, and they just, like, fall apart in your hand because they've got 120,000 miles on them.
Yeah, they just completely crumble.
And now, yeah, it just significantly pushes back timelines, and then you've got to, then you got the price. Nothing's cheap on those things. Even older ones, they're still asking a lot of money for parts.
Everything's special order. You're paying shipping and premium because it says BMW on it or whatever. And yep, I guess to minimize that, you know, I guess in the cooling system in general, is keeping up with your flushes.
Yeah.
Like, when that becomes acidic is probably why all that stuff falls apart as quick as it does. And the heat cycles, but just it doesn't help any if you're not doing your coolant exchanges.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before on previous shows. A lot of people don't understand that as that coolant circulates and gets old and ages, it becomes pretty acidic and starts just eating away and prematurely wearing on things if you're not doing those flushes and services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's something that we, I mean, I know it's something that we put on quotes when we're quoting repairs is we're looking to the best we can to future-proof whatever repair we're doing. So it's like if we can repair the system instead of just the one failure.
I was just going to say that.
Then we are providing you with maintenance that we know you're not keeping up with. And you're leaving with a better product, and then you're not going to have an issue with that system 6 months from now.
Yeah, well, and it's always a frustrating feeling as a client because I've been on the other side of that counter where you bring a vehicle in for your concern, and, you know, even me not necessarily being the professional at the time, it's like you don't know what other associated maintenance should be done while you're doing that other stuff. And the idea of fixing a car for a little more cost now, but not having to come back in a few weeks when it's not necessarily an associated concern, but it's part of the same system. So you just assume, well, you guys should have caught that. It's like, well, how are we going to catch that the thermostat's going to fail in 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to know.
You're never going to know. But if you're in there, you might as well. I mean, even if it's not like you're actually in there, it's on the bench and you might as well just go together with a new part. It's like, it's a little bit extra to get there, but like, let's just do it because in 3 weeks, if this thing just starts overheating, you're going to think it's something I did.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys just did a water pump. Correct. But the thermostat stuck. We didn't do the thermostat. So now it's going to be our fault either way.
Yeah.
So we might as well just do it now. So, I mean, I guess the quote would be a little bit more, but if the that conversation is taking place, then we have the best interest in mind for the client. We're providing a better repair. It's like, well, you know, this guy down the road said he can do it for X and you guys are charging Y. It's like, it's not apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
That dude's going to throw a pump in it and tell you to have a nice day. We're servicing the system and you're going to have a better product with less issues. And going back to brakes, I mean, that's a big one is, you know, people change their oil. They, for the most part, people change their oil. They think that's something I need to do. Mm-hmm. And there's reminders for it all over your dash that light up and say your oil change is due. And if you drive something newer, you get brake pad reminders and you get air filter reminders. And that's it. You know, even if you're paying attention to your maintenance schedule and you're doing your spark plugs and your trans fluid and whatever, brake fluid is one that nobody ever thinks of.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy about brake fluid is it absorbs moisture. And I think we've talked about this on the show
before
as well, that some people will use it as a desiccant where you just take the cap off and you can set it in a gun safe. And it's so good at absorbing moisture, like it wicks all the moisture out of your gun safe and it ends up in that fluid. And it's doing the same thing on your vehicle. You know, it's you're driving and it's 20 below. You pull it in your nice warm shop or your garage every night and there's moisture. That reservoir's sweating.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of that's going right into that fluid. And then 5-6 years of not doing that fluid because nobody's thinking that I should do a brake flush. Now it's 20 below again and there's like 25% water in that reservoir and it's going to freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Then you won't have brakes when you need brakes.
Yep, rock hard brake pedal.
So if we're doing brake pads, rotors, they usually last probably 5 years or more on your brake pads. So if nobody serviced your brakes in the last 5 years, I know nobody serviced your brake fluid.
Sure.
So that's something that we're going to address while we're doing the brakes.
Your brakes last 5 years?
Is that too long?
I would think. but I also drive more than you do.
Maybe you drive more aggressively.
No, I just drive more.
Maybe you're doing, you know, you're going around that guy to hurry up and stop.
No. I just drive more. Literally, I drive more. We bought trucks months apart, 4 months apart.
I bought mine first.
Yes. And you still have under 10,000 miles, and mine has like 13. So in 4 months less, I put almost 5,000 more miles on my truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a problem.
Man, we had one the other day. It was a Jeep Wrangler. Yeah, I think it was a Jeep Wrangler, but I saw the year, and it was like a 2015. So, you know, that's 10 years old already.
Yeah.
But it had like 260,000 miles on it. And I was like doing the quick math in my head and was like, holy crap. Like, I mean, they say a normal mileage or like considered low mileage is like 10,000 miles a year.
Yeah, and they're doubling up.
So yeah, 100K is about par, and he was at like 260. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Definitely driving that Jeep.
Which is crazy, because you see now like lower 48, people who commute every day, and I bet it happens in Anchorage, because you got guys living in like Wasilla. Could you imagine making that commute every day, Wasilla to Anchorage and then back? So, I mean,
that's 120 miles a day, right?
I think it's like 30 miles. So
each way?
Yeah.
Really?
So I think it's 60.
Man, I feel like when I'm driving to Anchorage, when I hit Wasilla, there's another hour before I'm in Anchorage.
That's because you stop and get like fat burger. And
maybe. I guess I haven't really checked. I thought it was a good like 50 miles from.
It might be. Like, I don't think so. I think it's less than 40.
Okay. Either way. Yeah.
So, but yeah, people in lower 48, man, they're bigger commutes. It's all highway miles, but man, it adds up. It racks up that odo for sure.
The Drive. We'll be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Is your car feeling more tired than Monday morning without coffee? It might be time for an oil change. Don't let your car hit snooze on maintenance. Bring it to us, where we'll give it the wake-up call it deserves. Our oil changes start as low as $49, and that's for the good stuff. We're talking synthetic. And every oil change comes with a free safety inspection, plus we can check your filters and top off your fluids while we're at it. At a price that will leave you with plenty of pizza money. That's Glacier Garage at the end of South Cushman, just behind GCR Tire. Open 7 to 5, Monday through Friday. Online at glaciergarage.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything on 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's websites and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened-to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is, yeah, it, sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to The Drive on KFAR Radio.
Man. Yeah, I really don't have that big of a commute. I'm here in 10 minutes, but I do miss having that. Granted, it wasn't a very far drive. It was all traffic, mm-hmm. but...
Oh, South Florida?
Yeah, but it was, I don't know. Definitely shouldn't have been on my phone, but...
You'd make better time on your one wheel than you would in your car, wouldn't you?
I think it'd be about the same. I guess if I was really like focused on it, then sure.
Yeah.
But if I was on that thing, I was riding it like a longboard, just leisurely, just enjoying it. Yeah. No, you could probably beat traffic on a one wheel. But yeah, I definitely should not have been on my phone. But dude, it's bumper to bumper traffic. I watched the entire Star Wars series on the way to and from work.
That's amazing.
I don't know how much I was paying attention, but I just have it on and put on the little magnet on my dash.
So let me ask you this. How miserable would that commute have been without AC?
Oh, God. I would need to change and shower by the time I got to work.
Yeah, shameless plug. We're running AC work starting soon here. So if you guys need AC...
I mean, there's never a bad time to come in and do it.
Like, no. Well, the weird thing is I don't think, and I didn't realize this until you told me when we first opened, your AC actually isn't going to blow cold AC until it reads an ambient air temp above, in most vehicles, above like a certain temp, right?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't diagnose it.
Sure.
And I think that's a...
But I'm just saying people...
Misconception.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, you know, if it's... 40 degrees out and they're complaining their AC doesn't work, when you command it on, it's checking ambient air temp, and if it's already coming in at 40 degrees,
there's nothing to cool.
It's not gonna allow the AC clutch to engage the pump or the compressor. So
yeah, I found that to be interesting.
You know, I'm not speaking for all vehicles. I'd have to look at every single, like, if one came in, I treat everything uniquely because every system is the same but different.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I would do a quick refresher on how it works on that model and then diagnose the issue. But even if it's, you know, not 80 degrees out and you want to get AC work done, I can still command it on with the scan tool. And if it's not coming on, then there's an issue.
Okay, that makes sense.
But normally it's, yeah, first thing is you're checking pressure readings. And if it's low, if it's empty, there's probably a leak somewhere. Man, that's a whole thing. But yeah, if it's empty, you can force them in there, look for the leak. But these new fancy machines will pull a vacuum on the system and tell you there's a leak. So then it won't allow you to fill it because it doesn't want to have it all escape into the atmosphere. But yeah, no, you can definitely diagnose it any time of the year. But yeah, don't be stuck on the roads with no AC. It's going to get hot. Didn't you say you got an alert that it's going to be like a record hot summer?
Yeah, they're so. I don't know if it was Farmer's Almanac. I can't remember where I saw it on the old Facebook, but yeah, there was something going around, like from the, it might have been National Weather Service. I can't remember. But, yeah, they were talking about how this summer is supposed to be, like, beating all-time heat records is what they were saying.
Man.
So, which is crazy because I felt like there were some days last year, like, our Father's Day car show, bro. I leave that car show beet red, just baked to the core from the sun, and it's, you know, like close to the 80s. And I know we had some days close to the 90s, if not in the 90s last year. I can't imagine being hotter than that.
Mm-hmm.
My house can't take it. I run 3 AC units in my house. My house is still a sauna, which is a whole nother issue.
Like, I wonder if a brand new construction in Fairbanks right now is being built with AC.
No, no way.
You know what I mean? Like, the
I mean, I guess you could. I mean, you can add anything.
I feel like the building costs in the States or whatever are just cheaper. Like, you can put together a house with all of these fancy, you know, finishings, AC units, whatever. I feel like you can build a house down there way cheaper than you can up here, and it just comes with so much stuff. They have a... There's a pool with it, like the full enclosure and all the things. But so it's just like maybe they're just thinking, oh, it's Alaska. You don't need AC. But it's like, yeah, you do.
Well.
We get just as hot as anybody else. So why do our homes get shorted on?
Fairbanks is a unique environment, though, because I was talking to a home builder and they're building homes in Anchorage. And I'm like, how can we not have competitive pricing for the type of homes that Anchorage has? And his reasoning to me was basically insulation. Just the quality of home has to be different in Fairbanks because of how cold it gets and how hot it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So like homes.
We have the biggest, probably the biggest swings in the country.
Probably.
It's 60, yeah. 60 below on an extreme to 90 degrees on an extreme. And nobody else is seeing that swing.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Hmm.
So, yeah, the home situation, like getting a house built is just different in Fairbanks, I feel like. Because, like you're talking about comparing, man, we are so far off topic. comparing homes, like even in Anchorage to up here, because I look all the time because I'm looking to move my mom in with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been looking at houses a lot lately.
Oh, man, it's the first one. You're like, that's perfect. And you look and it's like, Wasilla. Eagle River, like
yes.
Every time,
yeah,
every single time.
I'm like, oh, dude, look, it's nice big garage. Yeah. It's in my price it's range. Price it's got range. The square footage.
It's got it all.
Yeah, and then you're like,
never in Fairbanks.
Ah, no. And then the ones that are in Fairbanks in a similar price range are 1,000 less square feet and just not at all comparable,
mm-hmm.
especially in age either. Like, you can look at new construction down there, and it's all just gangster houses, just nice. You know, and they're expensive. Like, I know 10 years ago, if I thought about buying a $500,000 house, that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like the norm.
You can't find one under that. That
yeah.
Yeah. Would make sense like for
even,
a family.
Even the house I paid $289 for in 2019 is mid-fours, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you feel good about it for about 2 seconds and then realize all of that come up is just going into the next one. That's overpriced.
And your mortgage has actually gone up because you're paying more taxes. Yeah.
More taxes, more like everything. And because you bought your house, you told me what your interest rate was. I went and refied. So now I never want to get out of that mortgage because I got in when it was super low.
Mm-hmm.
It's like now I'm like, what? That's like 3 times my mortgage.
I wonder if they ever ran 0%ers like they did on vehicles.
I don't know.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be nuts. That's a lot of money to not make money on. To like give out,
yeah,
like maybe
no,
VA.
That's true,
like
yeah.
But so, anyways,
you know what we should do? We should have Scott on.
Scott would be great.
That'd be
we could
great.
Talk about real estate.
Oh
and
yeah,
cars.
No, that'd be a fantastic. We should definitely get Scott on. Shout out to Scott Rosenthal,
King of Houses.
King of Houses, sponsor of a car show every year. He always brings out like 10 to 15 just amazing vehicles too. So
you know what's weird though is out of all my friends, he's the only one I don't really give a lot of crap about being a Ford guy.
Because I think he's just a car guy.
He
like,
is.
Yeah, he likes Mustangs. He's got a bunch of Mustangs. But he's got a CT5V Blackwing. That redeemed him from any other cars he's got. He's got that C10. That's amazing.
That C10 is sick.
So Yeah, he's got some cars.
Yeah. No, he's got some cool stuff.
So I just think he's a car guy in general.
Oh, absolutely. He's been collecting cars forever.
Got Mopar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's true. But back to the topic at hand, Euros. Would you say, being a technician, if you had to pick, say, a Subaru, which, you know, it's an import or whatever, we can even go like a maybe, yeah, let's go with like an Acura, something a little more obscure. Would you rather repair an Acura over like a Mercedes?
Mm-hmm.
Just more simple or?
Yeah, I would say anything that's Asian domestic. So I would do like the American makes, like the big three,
mm-hmm.
and then anything Asian domestic, and then, yeah, the last thing anybody wants to work on. It's more of a niche thing, I guess, is the European stuff. And when you're trying to diagnose it, it's funny because I feel like, and maybe it's because America has so much of their stuff produced overseas anyway,
mm-hmm.
that our diagnostics are very similar to any of the Asian make diagnostics.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much, there's enough similarities where it's just familiar. But then you get something that's European, and a lot of their PIDs are in German.
I was just going to ask that.
It's like, what the heck does this mean? And then I have to look. Their acronyms are all different.
Yeah.
Like IATs, intake air temp, they won't have that. There's going to be a different PID. It's going to be, yeah, sometimes it's in German. It's strange. So it's just another like hurdle to get over when you're working on that type of stuff.
Sure.
And their special tooling.
Yeah. The special tooling is what really gets me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how it's really hard to be all makes, all models, service those type of vehicles, because then there's just more cost associated with a typical repair.
And I think there's like, you know, there's the normal ways to create an OBD2 system, and then it has its diagnostics, and then there's this guy over here that's just making his own rules and built his own experiment. Like it's got its own stuff going on. So it didn't really stick to any guidelines.
But they do have a typical OBD2 port.
They do, but then there's another module that is needed to plug into a different connector that's under the hood. So it's like, yeah, you'll run into Mercedes stuff that you need an additional computer, I guess, to communicate
with. I feel foolish for asking this on the radio show. I feel like I should know this, but so we have the tools to plug into all that stuff and get like the onboard diagnostic information.
Anything that we encounter and we don't have, we get coming. We'll get on order, so then sure. We'll have it for the next time. So I'm sure there's something that we haven't been exposed to that we wouldn't have the tooling for, and then we would just have to get it coming.
Yeah, well, I know, like,
if we run into something unique.
I mean, we just bought an expensive scan tool just because it could access newer Mercedes.
Yeah, the Mercedes Sprinter vans.
Mm-hmm.
Just a market that there's no dealer in town. And mm-hmm. when he came to us, he's like, nobody can do these. So we invested the money into getting the scan tools to communicate with them. And
it's weird, though. Like, I've heard complaints from technicians when you go to All Data to look up repair time and procedures. There's not, like, hardly any info in, like, flow charts of repairs or anything.
Mm-hmm.
In those systems for, like, those types of vehicles, like the newer Mercedes. And
yeah, and whenever you're using, like, All Data or any source of information for, like, flow charts, DTCs, repair procedures, they're pulling that data directly from the manufacturer's source. So if you work for Chevrolet and you're on, like, Global Connect and you're looking at their SI is what they call it, their service information. It's going to be copy and pasted from that to All Data to the aftermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that for everybody. So assuming, you know, yeah, if it's Mercedes dealer information, I'm not saying it'd be like in German because we have those repair facilities here, but it's not, maybe they don't have the rights to it. I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but it's difficult stuff to get a hold of.
Yeah.
That's about all the time we have for today. We'll catch you next week on The Drive.
You've been listening to The Drive on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. The Drive is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.